Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a subject that you'd like to talk about, something of interest, we want to discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of the Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. It's basic gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. And it's day 16 of our focus on the book of Revelation. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in chapter 15 of the book of Revelation on this, the 16th day of our study. We began with an introduction, and each day after we've been looking at one particular chapter, today brings us to Revelation 15. In our Revelation Daily, we've titled this A Victorious Scene. And that's really what John wants to communicate in this short little chapter, that those who have come to Christ by faith are victorious. We open this chapter with a scene in heaven that John describes as another great and marvelous sign. He sees seven angels with the seven last plagues, and the God's wrath was soon to be completed. But before he jumps into that, he takes note of another scene, and it's a sea of glass, and it's mixed with fire, and standing on this sea are those who were victorious over the beast, his statue, and the number representing his name. And, you know, as I was reading through this, just so much of what John wrote in his letters and some of the other apostles wrote just seemed to be jumping to life for me. For example, in 1 John 2, it says, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." What a marvelous message. He's writing to folks who have overcome the evil one. How? Well, he goes on to answer that later in his letter. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Truly, we are overcomers. Truly, we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We've been tried by fire. Our faith has been proven genuine. We truly belong to the Lamb. We truly belong to God the Father. Peter wrote about that as well concerning these fiery trials. He said, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." That's this scene in Revelation 15 coming to life. We see that the fact that we have overcome through faith in Jesus Christ is bringing praise, glory, and honor to him. And then the scene changes. We see the temple, the heavenly temple. Lots of folks try to say this is a temple in Jerusalem that's going to be built, but clearly it's a heavenly temple. It's opened wide, and out comes the seven angels with the seven plagues, and they were to go out and pour out the wrath of God on mankind. Not all of mankind, just those who have refused life in Jesus Christ. In the next chapter, we will see those bowls being poured out and what each judgment really means and how it impacts those. It's going to be somewhat terrifying to go through it, but as we do, we're going to see that these judgments are just and true, and we're going to see who they're directed at and who they're not directed at. But this particular chapter, I think, is a marvelous chapter, again, to show the victory that we have in Christ. So if you're listening, let me ask you a question. Do you know that you have overcome the evil one through your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you are victorious in Christ? That's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. If you're struggling with assurance of salvation, call, be a part of the program. We want to help anchor you to the love of Jesus Christ so that you know that you truly belong to Him.
Yes, indeed. Well, you tuned Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. As Bob said, we want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to discuss concerning the Revelation or some other troubling issue in your life, if there's a particular Bible passage you'd like to discuss, why, give us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to New York, New York, and talk to Fred listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Fred.
Praise the Lord, brothers and my brothers. Praise the Lord. I have a question on the book of Revelations, the second and third chapters regarding the seven churches. Of the seven churches, two of the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't give a rebuke. Is that the Lord looking for us to kind of follow that pattern of the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia? Because if you notice, He doesn't rebuke those or ask those churches to repent. It seems like He, and I'm just wondering what's your opinion of that. Thank you.
Well, good question, Fred. I think we're always trying to find a model church. We're always trying to find something to pattern what we're doing today after. There's lots of folks, and there's been a movement, you know, let's go back to being New Testament churches. And you have to ask the question, well, which one? Do you want to follow the pattern the Corinthians set? Do you want to be like the Galatians? Do you want to be? Because all of those folks had problems. Mm-hmm. There were issues. And there's never going to be a church that is flawless or perfect. Why? Because we're a part of them. we have flesh and all of that. There's going to be one day when, you know, there's this marriage between the Lamb and the Bride, and you know, we're going to be perfect at that point. That's when all bodies are going to be renewed and everything is going to be restored. But until that time, you know, we have conflicts and obstacles and things that we need to overcome. But as far as these particular messages to the churches, I don't think we look at these and say, well, this is the one I want to be, or this is the one that we should be. What I see, Richard, as far as these messages to the churches are concerned, that when you knit them together, John is giving one singular message to the church at large. And within the church, at any given age, there's going to be all of these multiplicity of problems, and there's going to be some good things that are occurring as well. And I think we just take note of all of that as one message to us as believers today in this generation. You know, the message to the Ephesians. They made a strong stand against evil. They were trying to do everything they possibly could to rid the world of sin and the evil ways of darkness. And so at every turn, they were there. They would have been the ones holding the signs and protesting and all of that. Why? Because it's our duty to stamp out sin, to get rid of it. And certainly there are folks in today's church scattered throughout the world that live like that. Well, what's the message? Well, if you're there, you're kind of missing the boat. You're missing what the gospel is really about, and that's relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I think he gives a singular message to the church. He's not holding up one and saying, hey, this is the one that you need to pattern yourselves after today.
Yeah, yeah. I love these messages to the churches, because if you take this point of view, then you can let them be the churches they were in the first century, and you can let them represent people in the church throughout history. You can let them represent yourself, and that way we don't get all hung up on, well, did this happen and it only applied here, or is it only going to be in the future? Or as soon as you add time to Revelation, time as we understand it, you're in trouble. But when you take especially these messages to the churches and say, yeah, they were real places, and these were real messages to real places, but look how true that is about me and my church and somebody else's church, and in fact, the entire Church of God. Again, it's hopeful rather than damning.
Absolutely. Well, I want to spend just a few minutes to talk to you today about being a part of the Basic Gospel team. Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need folks in the various areas this program airs to join with us to become a member of the Basic Gospel team so that God's work through this ministry can continue. There's lots of confusion out there in the world. There's lots of misunderstandings. There's lots of just clutter, religious clutter that litters the landscape, the Christian landscape. And a lot of folks don't know where to turn. And I think it's important that a simple, powerful, life-changing message goes out over the airways, and folks have an opportunity just to really connect with the simplicity of the gospel. That's why we call this program Basic Gospel, because we try to present just the things that are of most importance to God. And since they're of most importance to Him, they're certainly of most importance to you.
Yeah.
And the response has been wonderful, but we certainly need more people to stand with us. A gift of $10 or $50, $100 or $1,000, whatever you're comfortable giving, we encourage you to do so. Let me just ask you straight up, will you make a contribution to Basic Gospel today? And to say thanks, we want to put a valuable resource into your hands, a booklet called Your Guaranteed Future, and for a gift of $50 or more, a CD series on the Book of Revelation by Richard. Richard's certainly uniquely qualified to bring this message of hope and assurance just based on his background. So join the Basic Gospel team. We need you, and there's lots of people around the world who need you to support this ministry so they can be set free.
You can find prominent links on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Either way, a great way to support Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Denver and talk with Kenny listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how doing? Pretty good today?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm hanging in, hanging on.
Excellent.
My question is about this thing called rebuking. And I do not know, because I also look at, this is what I mentioned a few weeks ago or whenever, 7 times 7 of forgiveness. And it seems to go hand in hand with that. But then waiting on God, our Lord. I don't know if you could help me on this.
Well, Kenny, here's what I would say in that regard. You know, oftentimes, you know, we as human beings, we take pleasure in rebuking somebody else. You know, I just want to rebuke them and show them where they're wrong and that sort of thing. And sometimes we do that totally blind to our own need for rebuke. But what the Bible talks about is that the Word of God is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. We see that in the book of 2 Timothy, one of the most famous verses or two verses in the entire Bible. Many Christians have memorized this. But it says this: all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you will read the Word of God, Kenny, with an open heart, an open mind, with a dependence upon God's Spirit to teach you truth, then you're going to see all of these aspects of the Word of God applied in your life. There's going to be times that the Word of God teaches you truth, the meaning of a particular passage, and you'll have aha moments and say, wow, I didn't know that. Now I see how this applies in my life. Other times, as you're reading the Word of God, you will feel this sense of rebuke. It will get in and show you the attitudes of your heart and how far astray they are from what the Word of God says. And so you get rebuked sometimes as you're reading the Word of God. But he doesn't leave it just as a rebuke. There's a corrective nature in the Word of God. A lot of what Paul wrote, for example, in his letter to the churches, it was a letter of rebuke, but within those letters are corrective measures. You've gone off track, you're out in the weeds, as Richard would say, but here's how we're going to get back. And here's the instruction from the Lord on how to get back. And then coupled with all of that is this training in righteousness. All of that is part of this training in righteousness that is going to equip us for every good work. So rebuke always has a purpose in mind, and that's to equip us for every good work, just as teaching and correcting has in mind as well. So I think if we just go in the Word of God and let the Word of God handle that, we'll be okay.
Now, does that mean that we're not supposed to like what the Holy Spirit would say to me on a given item subject, to go to others, because it's like it, you've mentioned before, go to the people that have darned you, and excuse my language, but that's where the rebuking, I know I can understand the training and the rebuking from God, mm-hmm. but there is one thing, leave the town and do not cast a shadow or something like that behind
you. Kenny,
you
as far as them. With others, you know, like parents will rebuke their kids, but again, it's for a training purpose. It's mm-hmm. for a discipling, for a equipping. If we're going to go to somebody, we have to go not just with the purpose of rebuking, but with the purpose of restoration.
Thank you.
That's the whole key. If you're just out to rebuke, you're kind of missing the complete message.
Exactly.
That makes sense,
Thank
Kenny?
Thank you so very much so, because I've been fighting against this for years and things like that, and my trust is in God, and his timing more than my understanding. So that's how I get by every day and enjoy every day. Thank you for your ministry, and God bless.
Well, thanks, Kenny. Thanks for your good call today.
That was nice.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Jennifer in Newark, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. God bless you.
Well, thank you. And you as well. How can we help?
I have a question in regards to a church who has stated that a member can lose his or her blessing if he visits another church. My daughter's father refused to attend their water baptism, which was not at my church. It was actually at a lake, and I asked him why, and he said he could lose his blessing. I'm just a little concerned about that. His church also has no crosses. They only do communion 2 times a year. They receive prophecy maybe 3 to 4 nights out of the week, and I just concerned.
I would just... Jennifer, if I'm in your shoes, challenge him to show you that in the Word of God. You're not going to find it. I'm also would say, you know, when does God ever say to put, you know, a group of people over here over and above your family? I think, you know, as far as, you know, the Word of God is concerned, the most important relationship that a person can have is with their spouse. That's a relationship that reflects the type of relationship God has with the church. And so that's important. And then it also goes down to the family as well. And so mm-hmm. Satan is constantly trying to put divisions between us. And that's what's happening here. There's a division that has now occurred between your dad and you and your family. And that's not the way the Lord works.
I mentioned to him that, you know, Mark 13 talks about, watch out that no one deceives you, that many will come in my name. But he says, you know, Jesus Christ, we do believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Well, here's what I would say to you, Jennifer, and those are good passages to share. I would just ask him, what blessing will you lose? I mean, I bet he can't define that. What blessing will you lose if you visit another church? I think that's the key, because in Christ we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We have every spiritual blessing. God's just blessed our socks off in Jesus. And we have to realize that. And if we're in Jesus, those blessings are always going to remain. Why? Because of God's faithfulness to us, not because of our faithfulness, but because of His. That's what this new covenant is all about. It's a covenant based on His faithfulness to us. So in this new covenant, we have every spiritual blessing. Peter said we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness, with the assurance that that will never be taken away. So I would say to you, ask him, what blessing that are you afraid of losing?
I think it's because his church is Pentecostal, reminded non-denominational.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Jennifer. Thanks for your call, and I hope God will work that out, because I know that's a hurtful thing for you, that your dad wasn't there to see your children being baptized, and a meaningful thing, and I hope God will just work that out in a very special way.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jennifer. Let's go to Everton in the Bronx, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Everton.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, folks. I have a question today. When you accept the Lord, right?
Right.
It is said that the Holy Spirit lives in you from that time.
Correct.
Okay. Is it different to what the apostles receive in Acts chapter 1 and in their Pentecost? I mean, some say that you have to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, some controversy around that. I mean,
yeah.
Is it when you once you receive it, that's it, or what?
Well, Everton, when you receive the Lord, you're basically receiving the entirety of the Godhead. There's verses that talk about that God now lives in you. There's other verses that say the Holy Spirit lives in you. And then there's other verses that say that Jesus lives in you. And Paul really, I think, nails it in Romans 8:9. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. So it's imperative that the Spirit be in you, and that happens the moment you're saved. Now, Acts and that sort of thing, some people try to use that to make a case that you receive Jesus one day and the Spirit at a subsequent occasion, but that's not true. Today, when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us at that very moment. Well, Everton, let me put you on hold. We have some information that might be helpful to you in that regard and can give you a more detailed answer. So you hold the line and we'll get that to you, okay? Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah. It's good to be here every day to meet the needs of our listeners right where they are. And friends, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you liked what you heard today and every day on Basic Gospel, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. To thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we'll be happy to send you a copy of our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can offer a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, by Richard Piper. It's your gifts, of course, that keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time can bring you new understanding of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and to avail yourself of resources that can help. So for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.